Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Good evening, good evening. Good evening. Welcome to Pledge to Serve. We are so excited. Wow. We have a special guest tonight. We have our new opening song because we just want you all to know that we're here for with a special purpose, and that's to help you realize that together we can make it. And I think that that is the perfect song, even though it's kind of like a love ballad, but at the same time, we're brothers and sisters in love. So, and I want to introduce my co-host at this time. Dee Dee, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I really like that. I like that introduction. It was wonderful. And, yes, leaning on each other, letting us know we are pledged to serve. We are here. We are people who are dedicated to each other. So I really why they do it, but we want to give them appreciation. So if you have pledged to serve in any capacity, we want to recognize you. So that's why we're here. I love that introduction. Uh-oh, did I lose y'all? Hello?
You did.
Thank you. All right, wonderful. Thank you for being on the show tonight. And just a little bit about you. You are a Navy veteran. And you have your own business. You are a federal, state, local government contractor. So we do want to hear about that. But before we get to how you have your business today, I would actually like to go back to your military time, if you don't mind taking us back a little ways and share with us a little bit about your military days. So let's hear about that. Tell us about your Navy days.
Well, I was stationed as a recruit in 1980 in San Diego, California. And as a matter of fact, our company became Color Company. So that's a huge honor. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were competing against 9 other companies, and we won what they call Color Company. It's the top honor. We get to march in front of all the other companies at graduation. Well, we got to, excuse me. To march, we were the head company, and all the other companies were behind us. We had a dress and a different type of gear because we won Color Company. And when we passed by, the graduation was huge, you know. And you had all the dignitaries there and captains and everything like that. And they stood up and saluted us because we won Color Company. It was so exciting. The whole competition was exciting. You know, mm-hmm. It gave us something to look forward to, and just being in boot camp, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was a whole lot of fun. I enjoyed that. And then from there, I went on to communication school in San Diego. I was a radioman. We had to learn how to teletype. Teletyping was the thing back then. And I had to learn how to teletype. But what helped me with teletyping is that I had taken typing in high school. Mm-hmm. I had just as an elective, you know, typing 1, typing 2, typing 3. So it really helped me to learn the homework.
I remember those days. You had to have your fingers on the right keys, and they would get you.
In fact, when I first started, we really had to punch the keys because it was like click, click type thing. Mm-hmm. Then they brought in the...
You had to hit them hard, too.
Yes. Well, kids don't know how they got it now. And then we went on to the electric ones. The electric ones were cool. By my senior year, we had the electric ones. So those were really cool. I loved those. So that helped me learn. It helped me with teletyping in communication school in San Diego. And we had to type so many, what they called carriages back then. And you had to type so many carriages to graduate. Then from there, after school, I graduated on a carol, what they call the carol back then when you were in class. You had
Okay.
Third Carol, and I graduated Honor Carol in communication school.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I was going to be stationed in New Zealand. That's what the word I had that day, that I was going to go to New Zealand. So I was excited about going to New Zealand. You know, it was something exciting and different, but I really
mm-hmm.
didn't want to go. I wanted to stay in California. California was my dream state, and
mm-hmm.
I just loved the idea of being in California when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, God made a way, because about an hour later they called me back and told me I was going down the road in at NWC China Lake, which is in a it's a secluded base out in the desert. And I
wow.
did 2 years there. Yeah. So it worked out.
Wow.
You know, I didn't leave California. I had
That's
California
awesome.
Fever. Yeah. And I was stationed there for 2 years at Naval Weapons Center. And when I was stationed there, I became a petty officer, because I went in
okay.
as an E-1. But when back in those days, when you were awarded a school, you automatically got E-2 and E-3. But you had to take the test to become an E-4, which is third-class petty officer.
Okay.
So you take the class in your rating. I mean, excuse me, you take the test in your rating. And then once you pass the test, you become an E-4 petty officer. So I achieved that. And while I was there, everything started to change. You know, we got rid of the teletypes and the tape. It had a little mm-hmm. yellow tape that we had to put in the machine, and it would read out the messages and send them to wherever they need to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then
okay.
And then all that changed, you know. So I did
mm-hmm.
more high-tech. And I looked.
Uh-huh.
But once I was transferred over to the ship, my last year in, I was stationed back in San Diego at on USS Juno. And everything there was like it was when I was in communication school, a whole room full of teletypes. So
wow.
I had teletype machines. So I had to kind of go back and reattain that skill of typing on teletype.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
full circle.
It was something, you know. The name is the name,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So
full
where are you
circle,
originally
exactly.
from?
Full circle.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Where are you originally from that made you want to be in California so bad? Are you from a cold state or something?
Well, I was born in Louisiana. Okay, I was born in Lafayette,
oh, okay.
Louisiana.
Okay,
okay. Then we moved to Port Arthur, Texas. Small town also.
Oh, you're used to the heat, yeah.
Yeah, I'm used to the heat, yeah. But, you know, California to me was this place, I just fantasized it to be this place where your dreams could come true. It just seemed like it was just so glorious and glamorous. So my mind was, I lived in Texas and Louisiana, but my mind was in California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they
so
always make it look fun.
Huh?
It always looks fun
yeah.
on TV. Oh yeah. Well, that's
Pardon
wonderful.
Me?
Oh, I just said
oh, yeah.
they make California look fun. Yeah, on TV
oh, yeah.
all the time.
It did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it did. You know, it just did. The movies, you know, and
that's
it just
right.
made it so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just what it was to me. I used to watch American Bandstand, Soul Train all the time. And
oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, I want to get this. I've got to get to California and be on those shows. You know, and it happened. And I was able to dance on American Bandstand and Soul Train.
Did you
During
really?
my time there. Yeah, it worked out. That's what I tell
oh,
people all the time. You can dream it. You can. It can happen.
Oh my God, that is so cool. That's
yes,
awesome.
Yes.
Wow.
And that was,
truth
be told, yeah, it was one of my reasons to join the Navy and hope fully that I would get California. And I told my recruiter, I said, if I don't get California, if you can't put me in California for boot camp, just let me see it. I'm not enlisting. I'm not enlisting. I just graduated high school in 79, so I just turned 19 in February. I mean, excuse me, in January. I turned 19. And I want California. I didn't want to go to Florida. I sure didn't want to go to back then Chicago. You know, we used to call it the Great Mistakes up there.
Oh yeah.
So we didn't. I didn't want to go up there in all that cold. So I figured California would be, you know, the spot.
Wow.
And it worked out. Everything, it just worked out the way I wanted it to, and I was very lucky. And I was it was being on the television shows was a hobby for me outside of the, you know, the strict military regiment, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it gave me a balance. I had a balance.
Uh-huh. You know? That is.
But I enjoyed my neighbor career, and I enjoyed being in California. So everything worked out for me. I really, really can't complain too much about it.
That is just cool. That is awesome. And I tell you, that's so cool. Wow. So all the things that you did while you were in the military, how did that lead you to what you're doing today? Or is it completely different?
Well, not really. Because, like I said, I was in communications. And in that rating, I really wanted to – I got put in that part of communications, but I really wanted to be on the journalistic side of it because I was in journalism in high school, and I was really wanting that. You know, I wanted to network on the ship so we kept up with the news when we would go out to sea. So I really wanted to go into that part of the communication rating. But I got the other parts. I didn't want to complain because, you know, getting a school is a big deal. So
right.
I said, you know what? I got a school. I'm happy. You know.
Right.
So it worked out. But I really wanted the journalism side of it. I really wanted that, but I didn't want to complain too much. So I was able to get a school and I stuck with it. And you know, and it, to me, it was just all about. The communication thing, I still got a chance to be around a little bit of journalism because they would interview me about being on television while I was in the Navy. You know, I was in the Navy Times and some of the San Diego military papers. And so I got a chance to be around it. And once I was on the ship, you know, I thought about crossing ratings because a friend of mine, he was in that part of it that I wanted to be in. You know, he was a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
He had his column in the paper on the ship. He would go on the monitor, and he was like, you know, an anchor, you know, television anchor, and he would read the news. I wanted that so bad. But, you know, you can't have it all. You know, I just kept what I had, and I was not going to get rid of my school and my rating. You know, that's very important when you're in the Navy. They'll send you over to a ship, and you'll be mopping the boat and cleaning up the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not want that, so I was happy. And back to your question, I think it helped me out through my life, you know, the rest of my life being in that. It taught me a certain discipline, being in the military, you know, that I kept with me throughout my life. You know, and I pass it on to my little brothers and sisters, the ones that are way behind me. And my brother was also a Marine. He was in the National Guard, and he was a Marine. So when I was stationed in San Diego, I would go visit him in at Camp Pendleton. So we were able to keep in close contact. It was only about an hour of bus ride from San Diego. So we would visit and keep in touch that way. And so I was constantly learning from him because the Marines is different from the Navy, you know. So we both actually it was a big part of our lives up until this day, up to now.
That's wonderful.
Well, I have a question. With you being in the Navy, we're doing a Dory Miller campaign,
mm-hmm.
and we're seeking help to try to get him this posthumous Medal of Honor.
So you're trying to get a posthumous medal?
Yes, Medal of Honor. Yes, you know, he was in the Navy.
Uh-huh.
And he was killed, and during that time, they were not honoring. Blacks could not get the Medal of Honor. They were not
mm-hmm.
awarded, even though he was due it. And so here it is 80-some years later. We have a campaign going now trying to get that. Even though he'll never see it, but he's got family, and it's something that is deserving of our people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm thinking now maybe the Heritage, I think it's the Navy Heritage, because I had to contact them for military records. Is either that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to check into it. I have a friend of mine that's see
okay.
what we can come up with. But
we can make sure you get what we have at this point, at this juncture, and anything else that you can do. The letters ought to go to the Secretary of the Navy. So we're mass sending them. We're just making copies. The letters prepared. All we have to do is just get someone to put their name and address on the letter and mail it. So if you could help us with that we would greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely talk to my friend about this tomorrow. I'll call him up tomorrow. I'm trying to
put
on my email.
And we will send you an email so that you'll have the information, so that you won't be just trying to remember what we're talking about, but everything will be detailed for you.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking a bit of the Department of Veteran Affairs. I'm looking at another one on my email list
mm-hmm.
that I had to get my medical records from. I needed them for something, and I had to contact
mm-hmm.
them down the list. I don't want to take them too much time to look for, but I know what to look for.
Okay,
I'm
going to let you continue your story, and we're going to take a break in a few minutes so that you can kind of unwind a little bit because Dee Dee will pull it out of you.
Hey, I'm here for it.
she will
I'm
pull it out
it.
Of you. And so we're going to take a break in a few minutes and just let you catch your breath, and we'll be coming right back.
Okay, I'll be here.
enjoying the show very much so far.
It won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody.
just might have a problem that you'll understand.
We all need somebody to lean on.
Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. You just call on me, brother.
As you know, that was Bill Withers, Lean On Me. And
yes.
I'm Daisy Brown. I'm one of the hosts for Pledge to Serve. And my co-host is Demetra Davis. And we have a very, very special guest here today. And we're back. Here we're back.
We're back.
We're back.
learning so much, and I hope that Angel is ready to answer some more questions, because you know I like to pry and be a little nosy, so I hope that's okay.
Oh, that's great. Every good interview is supposed to be nosy.
I am nosy. So, you know, you mentioned a little bit ago about some newspaper articles that you were in, and I want to know about those.
Yes, but my friend that was the anchor, you know, he was the journalist in the journalism department, and he did a feature on me because I was on the show on American Bandstand and Soul Train, and I was, I forgot to mention, I'm not mean to boast, but I was a Price is Right contestant also. So he wanted to do a feature on me about that. So he did a feature on me with the Navy Times, which is the international paper that goes all over, you know, all over the world on all the Navy bases. And that helped him a lot. I helped him, and he helped me. He helped him, you know. And the other one he was working with was San Diego something. It was a Navy paper for the local San Diego area, you know, the base, boot camp, school. So it was a paper that dealt with, let the recruits know what was going on in the military, in the local military.
Okay.
So he did a feature on me in that. So.
Oh, wow. That is really nice. That's cool. So that is that's like having all of your peers, but not just right around you. I mean, that's like everywhere. The
Navy Times,
I know exactly what the Navy Times is. I know what that is. I've seen that.
And that's when newspapers were newspapers, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where you went. When you went to the newspaper for the news, it wasn't online.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
it was totally different game. Yeah. And people actually sat down and read them.
Right. Oh, wow. Well, congratulations on that, because, you know, you said you're not trying to brag, but that's, you got bragging rights, you know, and you brag.
Thank you.
He's got bragging rights, because I'm sure not very many people that you talk to can say especially both of those things. So you brag about that. That's awesome. So
thank you.
Tell us about
Well, I would like to
mention
one thing. without him and my co-sailors, because he would approve, say for instance, if I had duty on a weekend that the show was taping, he would approve it for me. And I would ask one of my co-sailors to take my duty so I would be able to go to the show if it fell on a weekend like that. You know, sometimes it didn't always happen, but it did happen, you know, sometimes. And he would, Chief Douglas, I never forget him as long as I live, he would do that for me so I can go do the show. And I loved him for that.
That's cool.
You know?
Yeah.
I did. I couldn't have been on as regular as I was on, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he really helped me out. And my co-sailors, you know, I couldn't have done it without them. You know, you do things in life, but you don't do things in life all by yourself.
That's right.
You know, you got to have help along the way. And
that's right.
I couldn't have done it without them.
Well, everybody loves to. Everyone loves to know a celebrity. You know, it's just so prestigious to say I know him, or that's my friend, or you know, or I'm his relief, you know, I let him go do this. So yeah, that it
exactly.
happens like that.
Exactly. And I pay homage to them all the time. Every time I think about those days, I think about them, because I couldn't have done it without them.
Yeah,
but you know,
what they say, braggadocious.
Yeah, but they don't give credit to the people who made it happen. So I think that's wonderful that you think about them like that, because, you know, many times when people tell the stories, you know, when they caught that big fish, they don't talk about the person who was on the boat with them and helped them pull that fish in. You know, they just talk
right.
about the fact that, man, I caught that big old fish.
It becomes I.
Exactly.
Yes. I. No.
Right.
It's always team. Because it takes a team to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, it
that's
takes
right.
a team. You know, you can't do it all by yourself.
That's right.
No.
That's right. And that's
I wouldn't even want to have to try to do it by myself. I really wouldn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about how big this world is and how many people are here for us to help one another, it's even selfish to even think that you would want to do things by yourself all the time.
Exactly.
That's even selfish, you
yeah.
know.
That's
right. about sharing. It's about spreading love and joy and helping one another. That's what our show is all about. You know, who's
right.
out here doing what to help someone else? And
right.
I'm really grateful for the platform that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Our producer, Beverly, is responsible for this, because she put this idea in my head about several years ago, and I was very reluctant. I'm like, oh, I don't know. And she says, no, you're a veteran. I want you to do this. And I'm like, okay. Okay. And now I have this wonderful co-host with me, Deirdre, Demetra. I'm sorry, I keep calling her Deirdre. I have another girlfriend, Deirdre, and I just, Dee Dee. I have a wonderful co-host, and, we just get along. We've got a beautiful show, and we've had some fantastic guests, and I'm just praying that God will continue to keep this show and keep us in the position that we're helping people. You know, sometimes peace of mind is the key to success and betterment of your life. So we need to just learn how to unwind and enjoy what we have and do what we need to do to keep it moving.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and one thing about, we have the internet now, and so there's really no excuse. You can do a lot of wonderful things with the internet,
Yeah.
So if you want to help somebody, you can, it's in your heart. You can do it. And you have to have someone to do it, but you can do it,
Even the phone nowadays, I mean, it's just remarkable what can happen with the phone. You think about years ago, you had Western Union, and it was costing you an arm and a leg to send $2 across town.
Exactly.
And now you have Cash App and Zelle. This is the truth. I remember I had a friend that called me one day, and they needed some food. And I only had $75 that I could spare. I sent them $25 because it cost me $50 to send the $25. Western Union. Now, that's a disgrace.
I'm gonna tell you a story about just what you said. It was last year, and I needed my sister. I wanted that, and she looked in, and she lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So she looked around in Tulsa. She said, "Well, we have them here." I said, "Well, look, I'm gonna Cash App the money to you." She said, "Cash App? What's that?" She's a year younger than me. She said, "I'm just Western Union to me." I said, "What? You gonna do what? You gonna Western Union me this money? I'm just gonna send you the money. I'm just Western Union to you. It's gonna cost you $100 to send that little bit of money." She would not Cash App that money to me. I didn't need the money, but she wanted to send me something, and she wanted to do it through Western Union.
Through Western Union, that's right.
In 2022.
That's right. I can believe that, yes.
Oh, wow. It cracked me up.
I think they're charging like $5 now. I saw a Western Union. I don't know if it was a special period that they had, but it was like $5 to wire your money. And I thought it was the funniest thing because I'm thinking about yesteryear and now how Zelle and Cash App and all of these, Galaxy Pay. And I mean, everybody has those things now. So, yes. Oh, boy.
If they were smart, being the legendary name that they are in that transacting industry, you would think they'll come up with an app.
Right.
Now,
right.
Oh, they have an app, but I mean, but that's not, you know, not to wire your money as far as I know. I haven't seen that.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen it. But, you know, well, it's interesting,
you know,
though, because it's pitiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
$5 is a lot. I mean, you know, $5 is a lot of money for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true.
You know,
that's very true.
And you know, it could be, you know. But I don't want to get
a loaf of bread versus two slices.
And, like, I mean,
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
that's terrible, though.
Right.
It is.
Yeah. It is, I tell you. And especially in this economy, you know, that's
exactly
a whole nother story. This economy, man. Mm. So yes, if somebody needs money, then yeah, they want as much as you can send. So yeah, you know, this is no joke nowadays.
It's no joke
so
at all.
So tell us. Mm-hmm. Okay. So
and
is it
the,
like
way, the way government contracting works, say, for instance, on the federal level, you have federal, you have state, you have local. On the federal level, if you, say, for instance, a VA hospital may need an inventory of gowns, you know, for the patients. There's a little tie-back gowns that everybody wears.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go in,
mm-hmm.
and they need, say, they need a thousand of them. I'm just going to throw out there, 1,000. The government is going to send you what they're willing to find them on SAM.gov. I'll explain that in a minute. But they'll send the bid to me, or my consultant will get the bid. And what we'll do, we'll mark it up to where I can make a profit. And the government's going, if everything is conducive with the government, then that's how I get paid, and I provide that service to the government, and they'll get their what they need, right? And every person that's wanting to be in federal, especially federal government contracting, they would have to be involved with SAM.gov. And you put your entity, your business, is enrolled in the SAM.gov. Without that, you're not allowed to bid on a federal level without being in SAM.gov. Mm-hmm. It's very important that you have to be in SAM.gov, which they will issue out what they call a UEI number, and you have to have a cage code, and that puts you in the system. It's a process. Because it takes a while. Unless you can hire somebody to do it for you. I did it myself. It took me about 2-3 months. But you know, I saved a lot of money. And I learned the system of SAM.gov by doing it with them over the phone. You know, allowed to be a bidder with the federal government. And a lot of veterans that I knew of with small businesses they're in SAM.gov as a veteran business. You have veteran-owned businesses. You have the service-disabled businesses. You know, even in the civilian world, you got women-owned businesses. You know, all that is in SAM.gov. But speaking of the veterans, being a veteran opens doors. It puts us in a separate category from civilians, and being a disabled veteran also puts us in a category outside of civilians. So they help us get bids, have a chance to bid on things that we would normally wouldn't be able to bid on. So they separate us from the whole pack, being a veteran.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm currently working with Veterans and Business Network. I went to their convention last year in San Diego, San Diego. I hadn't been to San Diego since I got off the ship. So it was a reunion with me in the city of San Diego. I hadn't been since 1983.
Wow.
Wow.
And I was like, stuff, it is full circle. I had a wonderful time. I met a lot of great people, a lot of veterans that are in business with the government. And this organization is called VIB, Veterans of Business Network. And we were all there. Everybody was there. All these major companies were there. We had the SBA there, Small Business Administration was there. I mean, you name it, they were all there, all the big companies. I'm trying to find that list of the companies to give you an idea of the companies that were there.
That's
wonderful. Right. Yeah, we have, let's see, this is California, Charter Communications, CenterPoint, Edison Light Company in California. I'm trying to get some national names that I can recognize outside of California. Union Bank, Frontier, Honda.
Wow.
Yeah, let me see. I'm just going with the national name. T-Mobile was there, ARC, Merrick, Lowe's, Swinnerton.
Wow.
It was just AT&T, Bristol-Myers, AIG. People were recognizing
that's awesome.
It was great. And everyone was networking. CenterPoint Energy was there. Everybody networking and, listening to the guest speakers and exchanging cards. We had a fabulous dinner and award night. They had award night, and with the dinner, it was fabulous. Live band. They had a chance to just chill out and stop doing business, all business. And we just had a beautiful night dancing, and it was just wonderful. It's an annual event in San Diego. And if any veterans out there in the listening audience that, is wanting to get into government contracting, go for it.
That sounds exciting, interesting.
Very, and lucrative.
It sounds like that too.
Since you said that, I'm going to go ahead and just say that if there are veterans out there who want to get into government contracting, I would be more than willing to help them.
Spell it for them. Spell it for them.
G O R D as in David, A V as in Victor, I.com. And I will be more than happy to help you get signed up with government contracting. I'm also a federal contractor and service disabled veteran contractor, women owned, certified minority.
That's it. You know all about
certified. Yeah, so I know exactly what you're talking about. And having those doors open for you, having the pull down with those certifications. So, yeah, it makes a big difference. And,
it does.
Yeah, it definitely does.
It definitely
does.
Opens the door. It helps us a lot, to not have to bid with the rest of the civilians. Once you get that SBA certification, because it used to be through Vet Bid, but SBA took over last year.
Yeah.
So starting this year. Yeah. Because I got my certification when it was Vet Bid, but when SBA was at the conference, they let everyone know that you can still go through it with SBA taking over it now.
That's a long process for them. But a bit more streamlined and not take as long
to get those approvals out for people that are trying to get their certifications. But, you know, it really does make a difference if you are a government contractor. So congratulations to you on all those certifications, because I did see that. And, you know, I love seeing veterans that take advantage of all of that with their government contracting businesses. So congratulations on that.
We're going to be running out of time shortly, but I would like to know. I would like to know, would you like to leave any information as to how you can be contacted? Would you want to leave that information?
Yes, my business email is it's Tim, my first name, Tim.
Repeat it, please.
Okay. Tim, T-I-M-L-L-C, at T as in Tom, X as in extra, I-N-T as in Tom, L-M-M-M-M as in money, M-M dot com.
Yeah, we would not want you to leave here without them trying to contact you. If, you know, they want to reach out, and I know that it's something that is beneficial for the world at large. You know, because we need everything. Yes. We need all types of items, and the government is there for us, but they need some help.
Yeah,
they need help.
They do need help because they don't know who to reach out to. Yeah, each one teach one. So you have to share the information with your fellow veterans. You know, I'm real concerned about the veterans, you know, not to exclude, but I'm very concerned about the black veterans out there, because a lot of them just don't know.
That's right.
You know,
That's true. So we need to try to, you know, be here for them, and it's just important to try to find, have an avenue that's available to you.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So would you,
that's right.
I guess we need to get closing remarks at this time, because I don't want to go, but
it's been fun.
It's really great. We'll just have to have you back again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When is the convention? When is the convention?
Oh, the convention is in San Diego. Let me look at the site. I had to pull it up because I want, just in case, you know, I'm going to go right back to it. Give me a second here. Where did we go? Wait, come on. Yeah. Well, you see, so I had it ready for you guys, and I think I'm missing. Wait, here we go. Nope.
I'm going to have to look at doing that.
It's BIB Network. It's in LinkedIn. Rebecca Aguilera, she's the co-chair of it, co-founder, excuse me.
Rebecca Aguilera. Okay.
But it's in San Diego. It's an annual event in San Diego on November 13th and 14th.
Okay.
And just pull
that
up,
all right.
go to LinkedIn and pull up VIB Network, Veterans in Business Network, Rebecca Aguilera. I forgot her married name is hyphen, but if you just type in VIB Network, it's going to pop up. It's in red, white, and blue, and you know, and she's going to, her face is going to pop up, and you'll have all the information. Just go inside the website, and I'm sure it's November 13 and 14. It's an annually annual conference. It is a wonderful time. You get
okay,
to meet
well, thank
people.
You. That
thank
is
you
wonderful.
So, much,
so, Dee Dee, do you have any closing remarks you want to make, babe?
Well, I want to I want to tell our listening audience, thank you so much for supporting us and staying with us as we transition from called to serve to pledged to serve, knowing that we are simply our arms wider so that we can embrace more people that just really need to be appreciated. And thank you for sticking with us. And that's it for
yes,
me.
And I want to say I'm not sure when our make show, our first make show will be. So to any and all mothers, happy Mother's
mm-hmm.
Day, because
mm-hmm.
The and true to say, I'll always love my mama. She's my favorite girl. And
absolutely.
There's no
that's
one like mama.
Mother's Day song. Mm-hmm. It's the Mother's Day song, period.
yeah. So, as a matter of fact, they were in Baltimore Saturday, and they did a fantastic job. So kudos to the Intruders for still being together. But anyway, I want to say good night to everyone, and we'll see you in May. Hang in there.
Mm-hmm.
We are pledged to serve, and we're going to close now. Thank you, our guests. Thank you, listeners, for being here with us, and we will see you soon.
Mm-hmm.
Good night.
Yes, this is America, my home, sweet home. God bless America.
God bless America. It's the and guide her. Tri-Family Channel. Tri-Family Channel.